Okay, this is a continuation of the Land Use Committee meeting of the Newton Board of Aldermen, Tuesday, January 10, 2012. We are now in working session. I just want to remind people that this meeting is being audio recorded. And so we held public hearings earlier this evening. The public hearings were all closed. So now we are going to take up in order petitions number 41411 and 41511. Is that right? Can I get the right numbers? Yes. So I see that Derek has 41411 all queued up on the PowerPoint. So why don't you take it away, Derek?
Okay. Judging by the level of complexity, I'm going to go pretty fast. So if anyone has a question, feel free to stop me.
See how confident he's gotten since last term. We have beaten him into absolute submission, and now he goes straight ahead. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
So the lot is 11,130 square feet in the MR1 zone. It currently has an FAR of 0.5 or 0.50 is allowed by right. And the reason for this is that it was built under the old FAR calculations, which were calculated for the new. It is now legally non-conforming. It consists of 12 by 16 covered porches at the rear of each unit. So it's very simply, the petition involves enclosing the two 12 by 16 rear porches, no additions to the footprint of the building, which will increase the FAR from 0.55 to 0.58, so 0.50 is allowed by right. I think the petitioner expressed the interest to maintain the structure of the existing porch and just enclose it.
He's already done it. Yeah, I know.
Here's the site plan indicating where these porches are located. The only relief requested is section 30-21B to allow an increase in the FAR 2.58 or 0.50 is allowed by right. Should we move on to the findings?
Well, let's hold on for just a second. Alderman Albright.
So, I would have felt more comfortable if, I know it's a modest change, I would have felt more comfortable if I'd heard from the abutters, even a letter of support or a petition, or a signed petition, I would have felt more comfortable. And maybe the people on Harvard Street maybe are renters, and maybe they didn't get the notice because they're renters. So, my inclination is to move approval, but I would have loved for there have been to have been some information about how the abutters felt about it. So I guess I'm moving approval.
Okay. So Alderman Albright reluctantly moves approval.
Right.
Okay, so we have at the back of the planning memo for the new members of the committee and the members of the board as well, a draft board order that sets forth proposed findings based on the criteria that are required to grant a special permit. And since this is our first meeting, Derek, and I'll ask perhaps Colin Weed as well, but just for the benefit of the newer members of the board, if we could just go slowly through the proposed findings so that everyone understands what the criteria are for granting special permit.
Okay. So this, in this case, there's only one standard involved, and it's when there's an increase in a non-conforming FAR, it's that it is not substantially more detrimental to the neighborhood. And you'll see that finding is usually supported by various points that lead to that conclusion. So in this case, and now you'll find one difference from your board order and this, is that we'd have added the numbers for your request, and that'll be reflected in the final board order.
Okay.
So that we reference the specific FAR and the projected FAR in the board order in the finding.
Do we add the square footage? We don't.
No.
So the extension of a non-conforming FAR 0.55 to 0.58 will not be substantially more detrimental to the neighborhood for the following reasons. Something else I think worth noting is in the past we have done sort of a back of the envelope calculation of FAR in the neighborhood. And with the new calculation method, those calculations become less meaningful, just because now a lot of either part of the attic will count, part of the basement will count, and it becomes a little more complex.
And you can't get access to these houses to actually go in and measure.
Right, you'd actually have to go and measure their foundation, and it would be very involved and would involve trespassing over neighbor's property.
And we take a dim view of that in this city.
So in the following one, the next petition, you'll see that I snapped a few pictures of houses in the neighborhood just to get an idea of the scale. Did not do that in this case because it is not visible from the street. It's only visible from the rear, and that wouldn't be a meaningful way of comparing it.
I just had one quick question, why the de minimis rule didn't apply here.
Because it doesn't to FAR.
Yeah.
Can I just ask, you say from the street, it looks like that, Alderman Albright's concern was not from the street. So is it specifically only a concern from the street, or can it be from neighbors behind as well?
It can be from neighbors behind as well. I think providing some kind of image that would be meaningful, showing it from every angle, would be hard.
But what's troubling for me is because the impact is not on the street, I know it's easy to take pictures from the street, but the impact of this small thing was not from the street. So not to show people on the committee what it looks like in the back seems like it was missing a piece of important information.
Okay.
And I did trespass on the neighbor's property to go look at it.
I
wouldn't on advice of counsel.
I know, nobody caught me at it.
I just want to say that the statute of limitations has not yet passed on that, so you might want to just...
All right.
We'll just strike that from the record. Alderman Crossland.
Thank you. It might be useful for new members to understand that the FAR rule is a very new rule, relatively speaking, a little over a couple years old, and then it was revised even more recently. Previous to the revision, including the revision, open porches are not counted. The revision says that things that actually are mass on site are what we're concerned about. We're concerned about not, this is what the ordinance is, the intention of the ordinance is, that we're concerned about the appearance of mass, so that all elements above grade are counted, at least according to a formula, as in the case of basements. And that open porches don't count because they're open, they don't appear in the same way as a solid mass. And that's the only reason this is before us. So I think, Ted, I know it was a bit of a tongue-in-cheek comment, perhaps, about why doesn't de minimis apply, but...
Oh, no, I was wanting... No, because, in fact, under the de minimis rule, if it doesn't, in fact, affect FAR, you could have done this.
Right, but, I mean, some of us have been talking for a while about, as we're cataloging all these additional cases that are coming before us because of what some might think is a fairly small concern relative to only this new FAR ruling. Some of us have been talking about, you know, expanding de minimis and or putting in some sort of administrative review criteria for a lot of these small cases, because we're seeing a lot of these cases which are just about a small increase in FAR.
As a matter of fact, the next item, I think, is going to be the same thing, closing or changing existing porch.
Prior to the zoning change, we would have been allowed to add 100 square feet of area to an existing building, which changed in October.
Yeah, just for the record, if you could give your name again.
Oh, Steve Riley from SLR, I think.
But this is still more than 100 square feet.
Yes, that's correct.
One question I had, and I brought it up at the during the public hearing, and I know we discussed it when we all met Friday to go over this with the city personnel, was there are two properties here, two condo units, two porches. My understanding is one is going to be done now or as soon as possible, as soon as the weather permits, and that the other may be at some point in the future. And I wanted to float out there for the committee, and this it probably comes under the conditions, but I, you know, in terms of thinking about it right now, when we allow this, when and if we allow this, is about some sort of time limit on exercising the special permit. I know we did phasing for Chestnut Hill Square. They have to do it within however many years. Perhaps setting an outside time limit on when this has to be exercised. Also, just to make sure that they don't, you know, for some reason, waive the special permit because they haven't exercised it fully.
What's the normal amount of time?
There isn't one normally. I mean, you're supposed to start within about, I mean, you should be starting within the first year while your special permit is still alive, and then you're supposed to continue to do the construction until you get completed, which could take a couple of years. But in this one, since there are two owners, one of them is going to start in a timely manner and get completed, and the second one is just going to hang out there. And the question is, do you want to say either he exercises or she exercises that permission to enclose the porch within a certain time frame, or disappears?
I was just going to say, well, I'm not sure what your concern is.
Well, I mean, if they don't exercise it, I mean, they lose it.
And do they lose it?
They could.
They could. I mean, it's going to be confusing. The question is, they haven't completed it. The special permit is one special permit. It's not two special permits. So the question is, when is it done? When is it done? And I think we just ought to have some clarity around here. If they, you know, it doesn't have to be like a year. It could be 2 years. It could be 3 years. It could be 4 years. But if your concern is that people have an expectation of what they're going to see when they look out the window, this is a special permit, it should get done or not get done.
Lorna Schwartz, and then Russell.
This is a very basic question. I'm sure that I would know if I had been on the committee longer. But so we're doing two porches. Do they have to be the same appearance?
Well, they are under this particular permit that's been
added. If you look at the site elevation structure, what if they use different building materials for the second one, especially if it's 2 years later? I mean, is there any limitation on that, or do we not weigh in on that?
That's really a call for the Inspectional Services Commissioner, Inspector.
Or for the plans. Do the plans have limitations as to the materials that are being used? I'm sorry.
That's all right.
It would look kind of unusual.
Right.
Yeah. If it was two separate.
There is a picture in the plan about what it's going to look like.
Right.
I believe it's clapboards and.
And the condo docs themselves may specify that since this is an exterior, it's got to match the.
Is that within our purview or is it not?
Well, what would happen as a practical matter if they change it? They would have to seek some sort of a consistency review from the Inspectional Services Commissioner, who would then rule on whether it was consistent with the special permit as granted. If it's too much of a deviance from it, he would say different. And Linda's telling me I'm wrong.
No. This was confusing when it was filed.
Oh, okay.
Because it is one special permit.
It is one special permit,
for two
yes.
Units.
It also says siding to match existing.
Right.
That's all.
Yeah. So it would be consistency review.
You put that in findings, I mean, also.
I suppose we could. Yeah. I think if we reference this plan date.
Yeah, it's going to be referenced in the conditions.
You could also do the findings and then Alderman Schwartz
can comment on that. Something can trigger.
Provide for a specific
that happens later on. The architect would like an opportunity to respond.
Steve Robinson, Consul of Architecture. The homeowner reminded me that there's a project to his, if you're looking at the property from the street, to his right, there's a project that's being considered for this area, and we might want to consider not having this window. There's the window that's adjacent to the door, just because it could be a privacy issue in the future. We don't know if that project's going to get approved. I think you guys will be hearing it in the coming months.
There's going to be a project next door that raises a privacy concern for this owner with respect to a window that would be facing that project, okay. And he might not want to have that window allowing people to look into their private space.
I just want to make sure that we don't have to make that window.
Again, that's the determination for the Inspectional Services Commissioner, and we can make a finding.
Note in the report.
Yeah, and Linda will do that as part of the report, which, of course, the Inspectional Services Commissioner will consult before making a ruling.
I guess along the similar lines, I'm wondering from the petitioner why they wanted to make this one special permit, and if, as you suggested, Weider, there are covenants or something that dictate that different owners have to do the same thing, because who cares? I mean, unless the covenants say so,
I think that was the planning department's recommendation. I know it was. So a lot of times...
I'm sorry.
So when these projects come in for review, preliminary review, we usually ask the petitioner if there's anything else they want to do in the future. That way, it's on the site plan. If it's something that they're looking to do in the next year or two, it doesn't require them to come back and modify the site plan. So in this case, the petitioner spoke with the owner of the other unit who was interested in maybe doing this in the future, so it was then included.
You weren't telling them that they each had to do the same thing. You were suggesting maybe they wanted to come in for one special permit.
Right. We suggested pretty much anything that either of the tenant and either of the owners were looking to do in the future that they consider it now, okay. Be it a pool, a shed, or this. That's a normal piece of advice that we give the petitioner.
And then, Ken, is it possible to, I know this is different from what we normally do, but is there a way to do a sub A and a sub B section to the board order that
for the point
distinguishes the two construction?
Well, I think we need to phase it for one thing.
You could phase it. And that's all I'm suggesting, which is that, again, there ought to be some certainty at some point as to what the status is of the unbuilt structure.
So that one owner can complete their project
right.
And get sign-off, and then the other owner can be on his own.
Right.
Because ultimately they need a certificate of occupancy, and if it's going to be held up because the other owner hasn't done the work that's part of the special permit, you don't want that to happen, which is the reason I raised it.
So it's a drafting issue.
It's a legal issue, but yes, it's also a drafting issue. We just and WIDA, I will count on to
right.
Do
but
that stuff.
But I do think that one of the policy questions for the Land Use Committee is to say, do you want a finite period of time for that unbuilt structure to actually get built, or it disappears? Maybe you don't care, and it could last forever. It's a question of 20 years from now, do you want them to come in and build it?
So we're creating almost a right to build it.
Yeah, you have.
Like as of right, but mm-hmm. really...
Well,
as
per special permit, yeah.
When does that expire?
Well, it
sounds like as a matter of policy, having a right forever might not be a great idea. I mean, the whole idea of a special permit is that you've thought about it 10 years from now, something could change. I mean, I hear you suggesting that we put some sunset provision on mm-hmm. it, but pretty far down the road, 5 years, 7 years, something, 4 years, something like
that.
Yes.
Are we implying that if, let's say, all the abutters decided to enclose porches, that might impact whether this one could be enclosed anymore?
I think we're just saying we don't know what's going to happen in 30 years, and otherwise you're leaving it open, theoretically, to be done for any time, anyway.
I mean, they might actually want to come back and do something different if they don't do it in 5 years and say, you know, I really didn't want to do a porch, want to do an addition or something else like that, just to... I mean, they still have to come in and amend, but I mean, I think you need to put sort of a finite limit. I need to put a finite limit on what they're going to do with it, which if they're just never going to do it, then let's just, you know, cut off that right and they can come back. And if they want to do it, you know, renew it. But,
okay. I'm fine with putting a limit on it, but I wouldn't think it would have to be anything like 2 years. It could be
much
longer than that.
Yeah, 5 years.
Reasonable.
Have you?
Yeah, I'm just not sure what the basis for the for putting a limit. I understand, Mark, you know, generally you don't want to just leave something open, but especially if this is a two-unit condo, that there's some value in it looking the same, that just because 5 years might pass and then they have the wherewithal or the new tenant might want to do it, I don't see why they would have to expire.
Well, my concern is this is a special permit. As Alderman Albright has said, she's concerned about what the impact is on the neighbors. The neighbors haven't showed up. They at least are aware, because they've received notices, presumably, that this is going to happen. So they continue looking out their window. They see one of them pop up. Second one doesn't pop up. So what? The future one might not know, but that future one isn't going to get another notice. And so they look out the window one day, and it's like, whoop, there it is.
Could be required that any transfer of the property, that it's mentioned that there's a special permit pending on this.
It runs right with the land.
It gets recorded at the registry of deeds.
But the neighbors would not know about it. I mean, the next door neighbor's not going to, who buys her house in 3 years and has no idea that there's a special permit out there.
Well, on a normal thing with, you know, like Kessler Woods or whatever, we have phasing that goes on. If you break the phasing,
large rock.
Like Kessel Woods, we continue to extend it, you know, whatever the law requires. But if you break the phasing for 2 years on a continuous project, does that negate the special permit?
People get into fights over it.
And
that's why you want to make some clarity, which is we were very precise in the Chestnut Hill Square for precisely that reason, which is like
so
you're
we were
not
very precise there. But I'm listening to Derek. You know, I wouldn't say he arm-twisted this development.
I don't like that term.
But, I mean, he basically said if you're coming in now, you know, well, let's look in the future and let's incorporate it. But the abutter, the other owner, doesn't have a plan necessarily at this point, right?
There's a plan. There's a tangible plan. I don't know what their.
Just repeat to me what the intent was.
Our intent or their intent?
No, their intent.
So I'm actually not certain when the other unit intends on exercising this part of the permit.
If I could answer that question, Steve Riley, this is a butter here, John. And in our discussions after the meeting, he said he plans on improving that porch within the next couple of years, 2 or 3 years.
Mm-hmm. 4 or 5 years.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, let's stick a fork in that one. I think we're done. That's one of my pet phrases. And get used to it.
I've gathered that.
So that's 41.
So I'm not sure I agree with B.
I was going to ask whether you had a problem.
Yeah, because, I mean, we had this conversation when we had the FAR. And, in fact, the mapping is different. It's not the same. So either you need to leave it out or change it.
I anticipated this. Like 10 minutes ago, though.
Not his first rodeo.
I remember we had this discussion on Park Avenue, the breezeway enclosure.
Yeah. Breezeway.
And we struck that condition, so I'm fine with it.
There might be a different way of writing this. I think the way that you've written it, it's simply not quite correct.
Right. Well, I think the standard being not substantially more detrimental is flexible enough that if we leave out finding number B, that it is not going to fall on its face. So.
I mean, the fact that we had that very conversation in the FAR conversation, that it wasn't the same, means that that shouldn't be there.
So I would suggest that we just leave out B and replace it with C, which now becomes B.
Yeah.
Any other findings you wish to propose? Okay, so why don't we move on to the conditions? So
the conditions, I have the standard numbers and conditions. For the newbies, there are a number of conditions that we always reference, and that's basically that they have to be consistent with the plans submitted, and all those plans are referenced here. And then requiring that prior to the building permit that a copy of the board order is recorded with the planning department, city clerk, and
registry deeds?
Filed with the registry of deeds, right. And then filed here at the city hall. And that is included in the final statement by the registered architect, so certifying compliance with one, which is the condition that references the plans of record.
And do we need anything on a temporary certificate of occupancy because they're going to be occupying the rest of the house?
There shouldn't be a temporary certificate of occupancy because the certificate of occupancy should relate to the enclosed porch. So they should be okay, but we do need to come up with language that clearly breaks these things out so that in terms of the occupancy permit, they can get an occupancy permit for the one that's concluded, and then the second one, I'd probably put in a new condition number 2 above the building permit that says that the units, that the enclosures can occur at different times, and that one which refers to, I guess, the house
number 41?
I guess it's 41. 41. It will have a period of 4 years from the date of recording to actually to pull a building permit.
Let's say five.
Okay. 5 years to pull a building permit from the date of recording the special permit. Okay.
And any other conditions people think we need to have in there? Hearing and seeing none. Any other comments, questions, brickbats? Okay, so we have a motion to approve. We have proposed conditions and findings. I think we've agreed on, and we will make those changes, and they'll become part of the board order that will be voted on, assuming we vote this out tonight. Are you ready to take a vote here? All in favor? Have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 in favor. That's
7.
Oh, I'm sorry, 7. I should say out loud. It's Alderman Hesmahan, Harney, Albright, Laredo, Crossley, Merrill, and Schwartz. And Alderman Fishman is not voting this evening because he's not been sworn in yet, so he's not going to be participating in the votes. So it is 7-0, excuse me. Law school, they didn't teach me math.
Next Tuesday night.
So that'll be next Tuesday night, the 17th. That'll be voted on.
Don't,
you don't need to be there. If you've got new TV, it's riveting entertainment.
Right. And you won't even know it's been voted.
Okay.
So thank you very much.
Thank you.
Good evening. Thank you. Good luck. Okay. We are now on to 415. Geez, it's only 9:30.
Oh,
no,
really.
So 415-11, Lori Mead Bells and Edward Bells, special permit site plan approval, convert an existing portion of study office space, increase the floor area ratio to 0.48 to 4.54, where 0.40 is allowed, and this is at 14 Loring Street in Ward 7, Newton Center. So you've got it all set up? Okay, take it away.
So we have an 8,500 square foot site in an SR2 zone. It is a single family house with an FAR of 0.48, where 0.40 is allowed by right. And current conditions include an 11 by 16.5 screen porch on the south side of the residence and giant north entrance. There's another angle. So the project description is to replace an existing screen porch with a 14 foot by 23 foot office study, raising the non-conforming FAR from 0.48 to 0.54, where 0.40 is allowed by right. So here are some images. This neighborhood has a variety of housing styles, types, and vintages, but they range from sort of more of a modest Dutch tape to a large Georgian colonial and to pretty much everything in between.
It's an eclectic neighborhood.
It's eclectic, exactly. And this is the petitioner's house here on the left. So the relief requested is, once again, in section 30-21B, to allow the extension of the non-conforming floor area ratio from 0.48 to 0.54, where 0.40 is allowed by right.
Okay, so any discussion on this item? Alderman Fisher?
I was not at the public hearing, but Derek's comment about the shrubbery next to it, does that go or stay?
Well, so the proposed addition is going to be located partially on that. So I think the roots
are going to
be destroyed. I think it's going to be
going.
None is proposed. And we didn't require a landscape plan just due to the scale of the project.
Which side of the property is this?
Yeah, it's part of the south side.
So looking at the picture,
but
it's
on the front
right
back or
the
go back.
So it would be located
pointed on that one, yeah.
The face of the porch, right, Jack?
Right, so yeah. Facing down to the porch.
Right. So to the right as you face the house from Lawrence.
Mm-hmm.
Right, so it's right there. That's the giant inventory. Destined for destruction.
We had no neighbors.
We had support.
Yeah.
Yeah. Including the immediate abutters to the south.
The guys next to the rhododendron.
Mm-hmm. Right.
The 18 Loring people were
right.
Supportive?
They were.
He is a notorious rhododendron hater.
I'm totally kidding. It is going to be eating the house.
Yeah,
the south side neighbor.
Yeah. definitely.
I'm the one that's not the fan of rhododendron.
Really?
I hate rhododendron. I actually have some, but I'm not really
a big fan either.
Fan of when they get over large.
And you keep cutting them back.
Well,
that's off topic.
Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah. But they do have to be maintained, or they really grow up and they get scrawny.
I was just curious, there was not much discussion on this one about mass, but it's actually a bigger footprint, and it's also it's changing the porch.
The basic reason is actually the change is smaller because the porch that is not enclosed does not count in FAR. And when you enclose it, it then counts in FAR.
Back
so it's actually a larger change in sense, even though, you know, the footprint is already there. And we had a long discussion when we were amending the FAR ordinance recently about enclosing porches and, you know, the impact that has on mass and so forth. And perception.
So the fact this one is already enclosed makes it a
that it's already enclosed, that you're only enlarging the dimensions slightly on either end of it to make it longer. I think it's to almost the same as the rest of the house, or is it flush with the...
It'll be slightly set back.
Slightly set back.
Front of the side, I believe.
Yeah, it looks like it's a couple feet.
It's actually a very glassy addition that's proposed with a lot of the same features as the old porch, which one could argue makes it look a little less like a heavy piece of mass.
Mm-hmm.
I also think, if I may, that, you know, I think the intentions behind the FAR ruling, my sense was that they were really going after much bigger fish. You know, that it wasn't that we're trying to nickel and dime homeowners. You know, we're just trying to slightly increase a porch or put a bump out on the kitchen, so on and so forth. And one of the things that I'm sure you'll be treated to down the road is the analysis of the FAR work over the last couple of years and a year going forward, and how many cases are coming before us that are really of this nature, very small ideas versus the great big giant addition that is right in the neighborhood.
From the West Street Tavern.
I think that was the intention, was to try to stem the tide of the obese house, if you will, or I hate that word.
They took it off.
I hear what you're saying.
Accessibility.
And the other thing Alderman Crossley was referring to, but the new FAR just came into effect in October 1st of last year. So we're still sort of feeling our ways around on this, and already we're considering making some further changes to it because of some either unintended or unanticipated hardships that have been created by the current ordinance. So we're tweaking the numbers, in other words. The idea is you don't want to...
Now. People are changing.
You're not going to last on this committee with that attitude, I'll tell you. Okay.
Maybe the intention.
Where would you go, though?
Up all night.
Okay, so do I have a motion to approve?
That would be you. That's your award.
Traditionally, if in your ward, you can...
To approve it too.
So let's have a look-see at the proposed findings.
The expanded residence, which is non-conforming with respect to floor area ratio, and I'll add the specific numbers in there too, will not be substantially more detrimental to the neighborhood than the existing residence for the following reasons. A, the existing porch that is slated for demolition is partially enclosed and only slightly smaller than the proposed structure. Replacing it with a fully enclosed space that is 146 square feet larger will not result in a major increase in the mass of the building. B, the proposed expansion is consistent with the objectives of the 2007 comprehensive plan, which promotes modest modifications to existing historic residences in order to adapt them to the needs of today's families.
And when we say historic, this is historic because it's 50 years or more old?
Yeah, it's the 1920s. I would suggest also maybe... Alderman Crossley, if you were, you wanted to add something about the glazing being similar to the screen porch, or...
Well, I think we should, because...
Not
that
similar.
Well...
Actually, in keeping with the design of the original house, you could say that.
Yeah.
I mean, it's...
I mean, one of the things that I spoke with the prior petitioner about was, couldn't they do something that felt lighter, more like the original porch? And they said no, but... But the fact that this has...
You can have it a rhododendron.
Paid attention. Can you make it more like a rhododendron?
The treehouse.
Anyway. So can we put that the glazing will make it look breezy?
It would reduce the effect of the massing of the addition. Yeah.
So should,
we glazing will reduce the apparent
mass. Make something up.
Yeah, okay.
Yes, sir.
Rich Levy, RBL Architects. I'm the architect of the project. There was an effort to emulate the detailing of the old porch. There's triple columns on the corners of the old porch, and there was an effort in the new design to emulate that that architecture and kind of ghost of what was the previous structure.
Well,
those were historic.
Does that give you something to work on?
I think I've got it.
I think emulate previous.
Ghost.
Specter.
Had to go before the Newton Historic Commission?
No. It had to go
for administrative. It was administrative.
For demolition delay.
Right.
I heard
right.
you say that.
It's gotten that approval.
Right. I heard you say that too. So was that contingent upon the new design?
50 years.
Did they look at the new design in order to approve the demolition?
Brian looks at that in-house.
Brian looks at
it. Okay. Project, didn't go to this,
at a project of this size, the historic preservation planner will look at it and approve it on the spot.
Mm-hmm. Make it a donation.
Okay.
How many snow?
Yeah, Alderman Fishman.
So again, you may have done this, but did you look up and down the street for consistency, not just the design?
That was the first picture.
Yeah,
it showed it was eclectic.
Eclectic neighborhood.
Is that what that is?
Yeah.
Yeah, so these are...
But are these all 0.58 or whatever?
Did you look at the FAR?
Oh, the FAR.
Yeah. As I was saying earlier, it's become kind of hard to get a meaningful FAR calculation with the new calculation methods. So as we used to do the density analysis, we're no longer doing that. My attempt was to try to capture it in photo forms as much as possible.
Well, the impression I have, again, just looking at this map, is that this lot size is either the largest or as large as any of the large ones. I'm not sure that's true.
Yeah, this is true.
Again, Rich Levy from RBL Architects. Their lot is 8,500 square feet.
14.
The subject's lot is 8,500 square feet. The lot directly to the right and the lot directly to the right of that, the two lots to the south, are both 7,000 square feet.
Okay.
So chances are those are probably both in violation of the FAR right now because they're actually smaller lot size with probably 3,000
square feet. That was the answer I was looking for.
And I think at least two of the lots almost directly across the street are also 7,000 square foot lots. Corner lots on the corner, on the north side of Loring are both larger lots.
Yeah.
So it won't, you might respectfully maybe propose a finding that it's not out of character with the neighborhood? Or is that what you're looking for?
Well, I was just trying to figure out, putting a little bit larger addition, that it's on a larger lot, so I think you can have a little more flexibility. Although I do like the river.
You do like what?
He wants a rhododendron.
Pink or purple?
I don't think that's our job.
Yeah, right. Pink, purple.
I was
kidding. I have a white independent.
Okay. Any other findings people feel compelled to make? Moving on to the conditions.
This one has no conditions other than the standard language that we normally include in board order.
Okay. Any further comments, questions, or observations?
No phasing in this one?
No phasing. No. I think we're pretty much a one-shot deal. It's not a home business, so it doesn't need a special permit for that. It's just a home office. So, can we take a vote on this? All in favor? I have 7 in favor, none opposed, and 1 excused. So, that will go before the board next Tuesday, the 17th. No need to be there, but like I said, you can watch it on New TV. And pure insomnia. Okay. Next item tonight, we have...
Thank you.
Thank you. We have a few more items on tonight's agenda since this is the first meeting. We're cleaning of the term, yeah.
And then
do you want to do that first?
Derek can start writing on the bike.
When the hay bales.
Okay. So Derek can go home.
That's right.
Wow.
We are going to, yeah, well, the hazing period's over.
Good night.
We are going to skip the auto renewals for the time being and move down to one of my personal questions. One of my personal favorites, petition number 105-09, parens 4, Yanping Sun, request for an extension of time, in which to exercise special permit petition number 105-09, parens 3, granted on December 6, 2010, for an accessory apartment in an existing single-family dwelling at 87 Woodward Street, Ward 5, Newton Highlands.
Derek has to
stand for that.
Yeah. This is what I was referring to when we softened poor Derek up by giving him all of the hardest ones. I believe this was the first one of several.
I think that was the worst one.
That kept you up late, yes. So do proceed.
Well, so I spoke with Yanping's son this past week, and unfortunately, Ben Abrams, her engineer / project manager, passed away.
I'm sorry. Why is that funny?
It's not funny.
Of natural causes. And
it was shocking. She's overcome with grief, can't you see?
I'm sorry. He was a very elderly individual. I always wondered how long he was going to live.
Special permit expires.
I'm just going to hobble out of here.
No,
now.
It survives the engineer. But moving right along, Derek.
This is why I say natural causes. She's not living on site.
No,
there was a big concern during the public hearing was that she had no intention of ever living on site.
Which is a requirement of
yes.
Right, makes sense.
She currently has tenants in the house through June.
On both halves? Or just one tenant?
So it involves actually addition of walls inside.
Okay.
So it's currently now, it's one unit.
It's one unit, okay. All right, I just want to make sure she hasn't converted
it. One family living there. They're out in June. She's in the process of looking for a new contractor.
Okay.
So she sounds like she's on the up and up.
Okay.
So looking for a new contractor?
So I guess Ben is kind of a jack of all trades.
He was an engineer.
And a contractor.
Did know he was the guy.
He was
going to
be a project manager, and my understanding is they were family friends.
Family friends.
She's getting a lot of this for
they
free.
They were friends, right.
Yes.
So now she has to actually pay someone, and I think that's a little bit of the holdup.
My recollection of this, within my ward, I'm supposed to do this, is that there was a very tiny amount of work to do in order to connect, to separate these two units. That they, in fact, had been designed with, except for a small aperture between the two dwelling units,
mm-hmm.
so that it could be considered one house, so that it could be rented in the way that it's rented. I don't understand why that couldn't have been done by just about anybody in the intervening
She's market. A doctor, not a contractor.
Jim.
Thank you. Somebody picked up on the pop culture reference there. I think actually, the genesis of it is also the fact that she has a tenant in there right now who's going to be moving out, and she doesn't live there right now. And so she would have to have the work done before she can move back in. Just doesn't
right.
have enough time. What I had discussed with Linda, because we didn't know whether to put this on for today or not, and we didn't want to drag her in here to sit through all the public hearings
until
this time of evening if we weren't even going to get to it. What I would suggest is if people have any questions or concerns or want to bring her in to ask questions, then I would entertain a motion to hold the item. If, on the other hand, there's not much to be gained by having a further discussion of it, then we could go ahead and vote it out. But
what
I believe
extension it, would we give her?
Years. The maximum we can give to her, yeah.
The maximum.
And has she indicated that she's going to move in at a certain point?
She's going to have to.
Yeah, she's aware of that condition, that in her intent is to do the improvements and move in.
So work could be done in a matter of weeks. I mean, it really was so small.
Right. I think it really, the main thing is the tenant.
Yeah. There's someone living in there now, so they can.
So this summer she's going to move in?
June.
That's the plan.
We have her here.
I actually, because this was so controversial, and because the neighbors showed up, I think we should avail the opportunity for the neighbors to be here on her extension and see what she has to say. Unless it's so straightforward that, we should just do it as a matter of course, but
What's the policy?
Why would they do that?
They didn't think she was going to
live there. Policy,
yeah. They didn't think she was going to live there. I think the main concern was that I heard, and correct me if I'm wrong, was that they were concerned that it was going to be used as a two-family in a zoned area zone single-family.
There were all sorts of back-and-forth allegations.
Right, and to have an accessory apartment, you have to have the homeowner occupy the building. And so they just basically did not believe she was going to be there. So what we did was we fashioned a board order with belt suspenders, snaps, and buttons, which basically made sure that, you know, she was going to have to fill out an affidavit saying she was there, moved in, prove it, and that she wasn't going to get the occupancy permit for the accessory apartment until she did that.
What if she then left in 6 months?
She never actually moved in.
Yeah.
I understand. No, her use of it was intended to be, she said, for her parents.
There's follow-up, unfortunately.
A yearly, an annual affidavit that needs to be provided.
Right. Yeah.
And otherwise, you what, lose the right evidence.
Correct.
That's right.
Correct.
You
it lapses.
Right.
Yeah, you can no longer use it. It's a use. You can no longer use it as an accessory. Okay. It's supposed to be. Inspectional Services Department is charged with doing that. I can't answer whether they necessarily keep up after. There were only about 40 or 50 in the city, so it's not an insuperable
task. Legal ones.
Excuse me, legal ones. Well, yeah, we can't get the illegal ones. We've enforced against a lot of illegal ones, so.
I assume it's a discretionary thing. We don't have to extend it, right?
We don't have to extend it.
So because it's a discretionary thing, I think she ought to make the case why we should extend it. And the death of Ben Abrams, to me, is totally irrelevant of anything. And she's had a long time to deal with this, and I frankly, and you know, her parents were supposed to come over last year.
Right.
I mean, we ought to at least understand, and we ought to announce it, you know, through the usual.
I anticipated that this might be an issue, so I would entertain a motion to hold tonight, and we could bring her in. I don't know that we can have a new hearing on this. What would we do to do that?
You can. I mean, you can force that.
Have a hearing, right?
Yeah, you could force her to go through it.
When did Mr. Abrams pass? When did Mr.
Abrams pass? 4 months ago, 3 months ago.
And when does her permit run out?
It ran out in December 10th.
But
the ordinance is even.
But she had tenants. She had tenants in there since September. So when was she planning? I mean, I presume there.
She had tenants in there before that. It was a doctor, another doctor,
so
one of her colleagues.
She must have knew the lease.
Right. She must have because they were going to move lots during. Right.
Yeah, because they have kids in
school.
They
had children in school.
So she was going to wait until the children completed the
school year.
Then she was going to do the renovation.
Right.
I think Mr. Chairman, we have Susan members. Yeah. Strange. Yeah. 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 Y live there. And either she lives there or she doesn't. And then we'll know for sure. Then you bring action against her if she doesn't live there. But why open up the wound again?
I don't think that's the issue we're talking about. I think in the case of an extension of a permit, we're talking about justifiable reasons. When Kessler extended, it was the economy. I have no idea what the justifiable reason is here, unless you can tell me what that is.
The time frame doesn't make sense. If her parent, a major rationale for her moving to this house was allegedly her parents moving here to this country, and that she was going to be caring for
them. They need a special, their own separate kitchen.
Where are they?
So if she was going to rent this accessory apartment to somebody else, would we take it away, the permit?
No.
If it's not her parents?
I don't think that's the point that they're making.
I think
the point that they're making is her reason for seeking the extension doesn't pass the sniff test. I think there's some skepticism about, you know, whether, in fact, it was...
She represented by counsel?
No, she wasn't. She was represented by the late Mr. Abrams.
There might be a language problem. I have no idea, but I mean, you've got to be sensitive to...
Yeah, no, I...
Mr. Abrams... From Waverly Street.
Yeah, she also had a friend who accompanied her. And I know Derek had many, many conversations with her. I think, and it was, we did a lot of work on it. You know, some landscaping issues, snow removal issues. The board order is pretty comprehensive. There was a lot of stuff that went in there. I think the sole issue here, though, is I sense from the members of the committee that they're not buying the reason for seeking the extension. We do, you know, it is discretionary, and it's correct, and you know, we ought to have. And I anticipated that we weren't going to do this tonight because I think people are going to have questions. As I said, I didn't want to drag her in to sit here for 3 hours and then at the end of the evening for us to pepper her with questions and then still maybe have some more questions.
So we better make it clear to her what yes. our questions are yeah. so that she's prepared to answer.
And so without discussing the item further, what I'd like to do is just, if people have questions, either raise them now and we can put them on record, or if you could just submit them in writing, so that Derek can forward the questions to her and we can schedule a future meeting for her to come to.
I'll move.
John's got questions.
John.
Rice. Yeah.
Oh, right.
Because
yeah.
I know the neighbors were in contact with him a lot.
Yeah. Okay.
So, I mean, I would, consult your colleagues and your ward, right. But I would suggest just get your questions in to Linda and to Derek, and then we will convey those to her, and so when she comes in, she can be prepared. If she wants to bring counsel, I don't know if she's represented by counsel. It doesn't sound like it.
I think it would be helpful if she brought someone in, because there can be a little bit of a language barrier.
Yes, I recognize that.
Yeah.
So I would suggest that to her. I mean, I can't make her do it. But
do a public hearing. Public hearing.
Well, that's the other question, is do we want to renew the public hearing? Is that, do people think that's necessary?
Can we handle it in working session by notifying the neighbors?
Yeah, I mean, we
Well, we don't normally do that.
Yeah,
that's not something you normally, you don't notify people of working sessions.
You have
the right under Chapter 324 to have a public hearing on a request for an extension of time. It's never been done in the time I've been here, but that means nothing. You have that right to have a public hearing on an extension of time.
I think we should do a two-step process. We should have her in, we should notify the neighbors, and if there seems to be, you know, a lot of disconnects, then we may choose to hold a public hearing.
I'm not comfortable with that.
But, you know, there's no reason to do that.
Well, let's do it this way. Let's
invite her.
Why don't we have John Rice? Yeah,
right.
Invite her in.
And the question.
Let John know, and because he's going to know anyway. But let John know, and then he can take the initiative to talk to his constituents.
Yeah.
And I know he will. And you know, if there's any concerns raised, people can certainly attend. They can communicate through, you know, written. And also through their alderman, speak with their alderman.
Yes.
All right, so Alderman Crossing moves hold. So we're take a vote on this. All in favor? We have 7 in favor, none opposed, 1 excused. Let's try and schedule this for what? Should we try for the 24th? Yeah, I mean, we've got two other things.
I mean, this is why I want to put her on first tonight, because I knew for sure to go on at 7 o'clock.
No. Yeah, but if we put her on first, you know, we can do that. So let's aim for the 24th. If there's any reason she's not available, has rounds or whatever, you know, just let us know and we can reschedule it. But also to make sure that Alderman Rice is informed of the issues.
Do you want to do that today?
Okay. All righty then. So item is held. We now have, for the final piece of entertainment for this evening, oh no, not the final. We have
live entertainment.
No, not live entertainment. We don't have a license.
We have a license.
We do have some recorded entertainment.
Piped in music.
We will be listening to music.
It's boring to have outside seating without some nice soft piped in.
And without the smell of a dumpster.
Rock and roll.
The licensing commission has real trouble with piped in music in outdoor places.
Oh, well, let's see, Indigo Hotel.
I'm sure it has nothing to do with that. Thanks, Lai. Have a safe ride home. Okay, so moving right along, once they took that stupid accessibility handle off of there, it works a lot better now.
Couldn't get the door open sometimes.
It wasn't exactly ADA compliant.
We were trapped.
Yeah, it was
on purpose.
It was sort of like the freshman trap at the old Newton North. I don't know if anyone knows about that. You know about that, right? Never got trapped.
The old Newton North,
the 1970s.
The
70s building. It was the balcony out over the entrance, and it locks behind you. And they
never got
they'd get, well, you were one of the smarter persons.
I wasn't a freshman.
Ah, that's right. You were there. You were as a senior.
Yes. Oh,
okay. All right. So moving right along, let's go do the auto dealership renewals. They're all renewals here, right? class one.
Your Honor, I know. Would you like to explain what committee's role is?
I really wouldn't.
What role is?
I'll let you do that.
Okay, well, one of the other things this committee, fun things this committee gets to do is license auto dealers. And every January 1st, every person who sells a car in Newton or any other municipality needs to renew or get essentially a new license from the municipality. So these are the stragglers who didn't come in time in November. And these are all renewals. And your class ones are people who have a contract with a motor vehicle manufacturer. So those are the big guys in town like Honda Village. And the class twos all deal in secondhand vehicles.
The city of Newton is a class 2?
Yeah, we don't want to go there, but yeah, we're class 2. Our people from the class 2 garage actually do go to the auctions, and I understand they've done well buying vehicles there. So
Ford Focuses.
And many of these, I mean, most of these people have...
Governor shops there.
Ooh, Rim Tim Tim. I was just Marjorie Egan. So anyway, these are all renewals. They've all paid their taxes, which you have the authority to not renew a license if a licensee has not paid his or her taxes, excise, personal property, real estate, and so forth.
And then the three is salvage, right?
They have the class three. Those are junk. Those are salvage. So you've got your tow companies, and we have actually two junkyards in Newton. But as Dick McGrath used to say, all in the back, up there with Ben Abrams. These are the cleanest junkyards you've ever seen. For a year, Dick said that. These are the best, cleanest junkyards you've ever seen. And they, all of the class 2 dealers also have to post a bond. They have to post a bond with the city for $25,000, which is the lemon law. So that, you know, so these people have all done what they've been asked to do. So we usually, Alderman Merrill, who is our NASCAR person and our car person, moves them together, right?
So I'm just going to real quick read them into the record, and then he can move them. So class 1, 298-11, Bay State Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram.
Formerly Clack and White.
299-11, Clay Nissan of Newton Inc. And number 300-11 is Village Motors Group Inc., doing business as Honda Village. Class 2, 307-11, Jacob & Associates, right around the corner from my house, where I get my car inspected. Number 308-11, LA Auto Body, Inc. Number 312-11, Newton Auto Group, Inc. Number 317-11, RS Service, Inc. Number 318-11, Regans, Inc. Number 320-11, the Travis Corporation, doing business as the car store. 322-11, Washington Street, Sunoco. 323-11, City of Newton.
Doing business as?
City of Newton. Class 2 and 3, 324-11, Echo Bridge Salvage. 325-11, Schiavone Brothers, Inc. And 326-11, the aforementioned Toady Services, Inc. You have a question?
I was just a clarification. Yep. To the members. The Travis Corporation, DBA, the car store doing business, 19 Rolling,
it's
actually Rolling Rock.
No, it's Rolling Lane. Rolling Rock's a beer. What are you doing in Aruba?
So that's a residential property.
Right.
And so you can't have cars on the residential property. So it's one of the preclusions.
It's one
just
of the...
Just in case you think...
Right. Some of these, right, are all...
It's
there are a few that...
Online,
allegedly, yeah. They're all online. We have no zoning complaints. That's one thing we check for every year, zoning, taxes, police department, where there's been an abnormal number of telephone complaints or calls or whatever. So, right, those are restricted to no outside storage or display. And the registry enforces its own regulations.
Yeah.
God knows what they are, but I know you have to have a separate entrance, you have to have a separate office. They change.
And
the rates change constantly. Right.
And you have to have a repair shop under
a contract.
Under contract to
right.
take care of any repairs that are necessary.
Right. And you have to keep a book with the VIN numbers and so forth that the police department can come in any time and look at. But these are all sort of arcane. Yeah.
Shops.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
exactly what they're for.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you, Alderman.
Thanks, Alderman.
Electrician.
Okay, so we have a motion for all of the above. Any question?
Yeah.
No. Okay, ready to vote?
Ready to vote because he wants to get out of here.
Seven in favor, none opposed, one accused. Excused. Recused.
All right. Oh, and last but not least.
Last but not least, our capable President Lenin, number 106-07, parens 5, appointing the following individuals as Board of Aldermen appointees to the six-person neighborhood council established in Condition 20 of Special Permit number 106-07, granted to Beth Menachem Chabad on October 1, 2007, for waivers of parking requirements associated with the religious institution at 349 Dedham Street, Ward 8. The lucky contestants are parens A, Elise Friedman, 370 Dedham Street, parens B, David Yu, 22 Rachel Road, and parens C, Alderman Mitchell Fishman, Alderman at Large, Ward 8. Mr. Yu actually is the designee of the principal of the Countryside School.
No, the designee will be the person that the principal designates.
Oh, okay.
I believe it's going to be another woman from Rachel Road. Laura Fisher, is it?
Lauren Fisher.
Lauren Fisher.
Okay, but she's not up tonight.
Well, no, because she's the designee. She won't be in front of you.
Okay. I just need clarification on that because I'm just...
And just for clarification, there are two other members of the neighborhood council, and these are representatives of the Chabad.
Right. But these are the aldermanic appointees, so.
All right. He can't anyway because he hasn't been sworn in yet. And besides which, he's also got a conflict of interest because he's on the list.
Would you like
me to move the item?
Okay.
Move my move approval.
Okay, sure. Mitch, do you want him to leave the room? Or? No.
Yeah.
Okay, no further discussion. All in favor. We've got seven in favor, none opposed, one excused. And I entertain a motion to adjourn the meeting.
Yay.
Yay.
So
thank you all. It's 10:05. We usually try and get done. So the rest of us can go.